turn your Bible with me this morning to the book of Philippians chapter 2 as we share this morning in the Word of God. Philippians chapter 2, a lot more that I want to say, but for time's sake, we need to get right into the text again. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, choir. And thank you, officer. I believe in victorious living. I believe that God didn't just save us to give us fire insurance from hell. I believe when God saved us, He saved us to make a difference in this society in which we live. I believe God saved us, choir, so we can be light in a dark world and salt in a low sodium saltless society. And my conviction this morning is that many of us as believers are not on a consistent basis living the life that God desires and designed for us to live. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we're not having the impact that we should have in our communities, in our churches, in our city, and in our nation. The question of the hour, why is that? Well, there may be a lot of reasons that are well, but I want to talk about one that I believe is one of those reasons this morning. From Philippians chapter 2, very familiar passage of Scripture, verses 5 through 8 of that chapter. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 of that chapter. If you have it, please say amen. As a matter of fact, y'all can say amen all throughout the sermon. I'm calling you to. Y'all know what I'm talking about, all right? Dr. Mola is not here, so come on, let it go. Just exhale. All right, just be yourself, all right? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Our Father and our God, Master, we thank you and we praise you for this wonderful and exciting privilege to be here in the pulpit and the chapel at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Thank you for the esteemed leadership of Dr. Al Mola, God. We lift him up, God, as he's there in Florida with his mom, God. We pray your blessings upon them and upon her, God. We pray that you'll just use him to be a source of comfort and strength, God, to her, God. Thank you for the staff, God, for the professors, for the faculty, for the students here at Southern Seminary. Thank you for this orchestra and this choir, for Brother Patrick, God, and his leadership here. Thank you for all the guests who come from near and from far. Now, God, do as I ask every time I stand to preach. God, let me decrease as you increase. Father, hide me behind the cross. Let them not see Fred, but God, let them see Christ. To them, God, that you may be glorified, the saints of God may be edified, Satan may be horrified, and lost sinners will come to repentance. Therefore, God, stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice. I'll be so very careful to give your name all the praise, all of the glory, and all of the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, and for us say again, the people of God say amen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. With that text in mind, I want to preach this morning from the subject, the importance of having a renewed mind. The importance of having a renewed mind. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, there's not an hour that goes by. Richard, there's not a day that goes by. Sarah, there's not a week that goes by. Coleman, there's not a month that goes by. In the life of a believer, Patrick, in the life of a child of God, quiet, in the life of a born-again Christian, where our mind is not being tempted, where your mind is not being enticed, where your mind is not being lured by our enemy, by our adversary, by our tormentor, by Satan, by the devil, by Lucifer. Whether it's something you're watching on TV, the situation in Jersey Shore, and looking all those folk, Housewives of Atlanta, Housewives of ATL, or whether it's something you're watching on the internet or some other venue, my brothers and my sisters, our mind, Brother Curtis, is always being attacked by the enemy. That's why Peter admonishes us. That's why Peter warns us. That's why Peter alerts us. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, Dr. Altman, Peter says, be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion walking about seeking, Dr. Moore, whom he may devour, seeking whom he may destroy, like you seeking whom he may devour. Think about it. Not a day goes by, not an hour goes by, not a week, not a month that goes by where our enemy, where our adversary, where our tormentor has not Southern Baptist put in the mind of a born-again Christian, in the mind, Kevin, of a child of God, in the mind of a believer, some stuff we know we should not do, but places we know we should not go, but stuff we know we should not watch, But I promise you guys, I promise you ladies, before the 60 minutes of that hour has passed, before the 24 hours of that day has passed, before the 7 days of that week has passed, before the 4 weeks of that month has passed, not just somewhere, somehow, we find ourselves seduced by the enemy. Somewhere, somehow, we find ourselves enticed, lured, we find ourselves bamboozled by the enemy. And since I'm among a bunch of young people, somewhere, somehow, we find ourselves pumped by the enemy. Therefore, my brothers and my sisters, the question of the hour, one of the things that I've discovered, Dr. Moore, one thing that I've discovered, and I realized, is that none of us in here are exempt from the tactics of the enemy. None of us in here, from the pulpit to the door, from the balcony to the quadrant, none of us in here are exempt from the schemes of the enemy, from the attacks of the enemy, from the temptations of the enemy. It does not matter your marital status. You can be single, saved, and satisfied. You are not exempt. You can be married and marvelous, or married and miserable. You are not exempt. You can be widowed and wonderful, or widowed and weary. The fact of the matter, Dr. Coleman, we are not exempt from the attack of the enemy. Doesn't matter your marital status. Doesn't matter your position in the church. You can be a praying preacher, an engaging elder, a devoted deacon, a terrific trustee, a committed choir member, a magnificent musician, a useful usher, a gracious greeter, a marvelous member. The fact of the matter is you're not exempt from the attacks of the enemy. Doesn't matter your marital status. Doesn't matter your position in the church. Doesn't matter what age you are. You can be a cute child like my grandson. Amen. Glory to God. You can be a tender teenager. You can be your tempting 20s, your tantalizing 30s, your firm 40s, your fabulous 50s. Amen, amen, amen. To the fabulous 50 folk in the house. You can be in your soaring 60s, your serene 70s, your elegant 80s, or your nostalgic 90s. It does not matter your age. You are not exempt from the attacks of the enemy. Doesn't matter your marital status. Doesn't matter your position in the church. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your race. Doesn't matter your education. You can be a freshman, a sophomore, a junior, senior, or in graduate school. The fact of the matter, ladies and gentlemen, none of us are exempt from the attacks of the enemy. Doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. Doesn't matter how long you've been baptized. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, the fact of the matter is that the enemy will do all that he can to attack the mind of the sons and the daughters of God. Let me say that again. The enemy will do all that he can, choir, to attack the minds of the sons and the daughters of God. But don't just take it my word for it. Search the scriptures for yourself. Search the Bible for yourself. You'll find out that it's happened all throughout scripture. Think about it, Richard. Satan got to the mind of Adam and Eve and they ate of the forbidden fruit. Satan got to the mind of Abraham and Sarah and they lied about their marital status. Satan got to the mind of Cain and he murdered his own brother Abel. Satan got to the mind of Noah and he got drunk and naked in front of his kids. Satan got to the mind of Jacob and he deceived his own daddy Isaac. Satan got to the mind of David and he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Yes, she was fine. Yes, baby had bad. Yes, she was popping, locking, and dropping. But still, David, you was the king of Israel. Said he got to the mind of Amnon, and he raped his own sister Tamar. Said he got to the mind of Judas, and he betrayed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Said he got to the mind of Peter, and he denied that he ever knew who Jesus was. Said he got to the mind of the prodigal son, and the Bible says, the word of God says, he wasted his inheritance on wild parties and hoochie mamas. Oh, I am so sorry. I am so glad Dr. Moley is not here, man. Can you imagine the look on his face when I said, "Hoochie Mama"? And then I'm president of the Southern Baptist Convention. I cannot be saying Hoochie Mama. So he wasted his inheritance on wild parties and riotous living. But the Bible, it doesn't stop there in the Bible. It didn't stop there in the scriptures. Ladies and gentlemen, the enemy has been after all of us for years. Right here in this chapel, right here in these pews. If we're honest with ourselves, if we take off the mask, if we take off the halo of men and women, husbands and wives, of singles and senior soldiers, of teachers and professors and pastors and faculty and staff, whose mind mind has been attacked by the enemy, whose mind has been enticed by the enemy, whose mind has been seduced by the enemy, whose mind has been lured by the enemy, whose mind has been bamboozled by the enemy, whose mind has been tempted by the enemy. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, the question of the hour is, how can we, as sons and daughters of God, how can we, as believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how can we stand, Southern, against the attack of the enemy? Kevin, how can we be victorious in our walk with God so that we can indeed be light in a dark world and salt on a low Southern Southern society on a consistent basis? Well, my brothers and my sisters, the answer is we must have a renewed mind. It's the subject of the sermon Curtis on this morning, the importance of having a renewed mind. And that's the point, Dr. Moore, that's the point that the Apostle Paul is making to the church at Philippi. Paul is saying that if we're believers, Matthew, we're going to win. That if we're going to be victorious in our walk with God, that if we're going to be able to stand against the enemy, that if we're going to be faithful in what God has called us to do, then we must have a renewed mind. Therefore, I want every believer in this chapel, every believer who will hear this sermon on CD or watch it on the internet or DVD, I want every believer to understand why it's important to have a renewed mind. There are three reasons that I find right here in this text in Philippians chapter 2. First of all, Dr. Coleman, the Bible says, the scripture says, a renewed mind can help us think about your Christ. A renewed mind, Christ, can help you think about your Christ. Look what Paul says in Philippians 2, verses 5 and 6. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. A renewed mind can help you, sir, help you think about your Christ. You see, my friend, before we give into those seductions of the enemy, before we give into those attacks of the enemy, Pastor, before we give into those temptations of the enemy, a renewed mind, man, this should help us think about our Christ. In other words, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's given to me, my soul shouts up, hallelujah, think about it. He was born of a virgin just for you and for me. He was lied on and talked about just for you and for me. He was betrayed and beaten. He was denied and demeaned. He was spit on and mocked just for you and for me. He was stripped and teased. He was pushed and shoved. Jesus was abused and misused just for you. And for me, the Bible says he left his home in glory to come down to earth to give us redemption story. Oh, brothers and sisters, a renewed mind can help you think about your Christ and all that he did for you, and all that he did for me. Think about it. He brought salvation just for you and for me. He brought redemption just for you and for me. He brought sanctification just for you and for me. He brought justification just for you. He brought regeneration just for you and for me. He loved us. He saved us. He lived for us. He died for us. He redeemed us. And one day he's coming back again for us. Even though he was fully God, he became fully man and gave his life for you and for me. How can you not want to live for him? How can you not want to win for him? How can you not want to stand for him? How can you not want to be victorious? Well, when you think about all he did for you, how can you not want to win for him? How can you not want to be faithful to him? That's why when I think, Southern, when I think about the goodness of Jesus, I come when my mind is renewed and I think about the goodness and all that he's done for me, my soul shouts, praise the Lord. My soul shouts, hallelujah. But then there's another reason why it's important to have a renewed mind. And I said, not only does a renewed mind help you think about your Christ, but also, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, a renewed mind should help you think about your choices. A renewed mind should help you think about your choices. Look at verse 7 of Philippians chapter 2. The Bible says, the Word of God says, but Jesus made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Which is, Jesus did not allow his heavenly reputation to affect his earthly responsibilities. Let's say that again. He did not allow his heavenly position
Because the effect is utterly responsibility. He made himself of no reputation. Think about this. Even though he was a king, he chose to become a bondservant. Even though he was fully God, he chose to become fully man. Even though he was deity, which is he decided to die. Even though he was God the Son, while he was living here on earth, every choice he made to please God the Father. That's why we must have the mind of Christ. That's why Paul said, let this mind fire be in you, which was also in the Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, because even though we're born again, even though we're saved, even though we're redeemed, even though we have the freedom to make our own choices and make our own decisions, as sons of God, as sons and daughters of God, every choice we make shall please our Heavenly Father. We've got to, and if our choice is going to please our Heavenly Father, then we must know what God says about our choices. That's what Jesus did when he was living on earth. Every decision, every choice Jesus made, he did to please his Father. Some of you remember after the fast of 40 days and 40 nights, he came off the mountaintop and Satan met him there and said, man, you know you're hungry. You know you need something to eat. He said, why don't you turn these stones into bread? Remember what Jesus said? Put some butter and honey on it, you got a deal. No, he didn't say that. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. If we want to make wise choices, we got to know what the God says about our choices. And God has a lot to say about our choices. But God says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Psalms 37 and 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good, and so shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Psalms 37 and 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. It's all about choices. Psalms 37 and 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Psalms 118 and 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19 says, I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life. Therefore, you and your children shall live. It's all about choices. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, I keep thee in perfectly, whose mind is set on thee, because they trust in the Lord. Psalm 27 and 14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of the courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. When I say on the Lord, Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof of the ways of death. It's all about choices. I remember in Joshua chapter 24, when Joshua partners and friends and road dogs were getting the stuff that Joshua wasn't coming with. Joshua calling together. Joshua, man, I got to put a line in the sand. Y'all getting the stuff that I'm not coming with. Y'all doing stuff that I'm not happy with. Y'all doing stuff that's causing me to compromise. Joshua called his partners together and said, listen, guys, it's time to make a choice. It's time to make a decision. Choose yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's all about choices. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world. But here it is, be transformed in the balcony by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect word of God. And lastly, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet me, it is not me. Self, it is not me. That covenant is not me. But Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, the decision that I now make in the flesh, the choice that I now make in the flesh, I make by the faith of the Son of God. That Matthew not only loved me, but he gave himself for me. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about choices. Because every choice you make in life leads to a consequence. Every decision, every choice you make in life leads to a consequence. And that consequence can either be a blessing or it can be a burden. Think about it. Think about some of the choices you've made, some of the decisions you've made, and think about the consequences of those decisions. Every choice can either lead to a consequence, that consequence can either be a blessing or a burden. I've heard the story about this barber who's cut this guy's hair. Next, he was cutting this guy's hair. Little kid was about to come into the barbershop.
And Matthew the barber looked at the guy in the chest. Said, "Man, watch this kid." Say, "See that kid?" Say, "See what? That's the dumbest kid in the world." So what do you mean? So Randy, the kid came into the barber shop and said, "Hey, Mr. Barber, how you doing?" "It's a fine kid. How you doing?" "So I'm doing fine." And the barber put a dollar bill in one hand, Kevin, and put two quarters in the other hand. He said, "Young man, which one you want?" And immediately the kid took the two quarters and ran out of the barber shop. The barber said, "See, I told you, that's the dumbest kid in the world. That kid comes into this barber shop every week. Sometimes he comes twice a week. And whenever he comes, I put a dollar bill in one hand and two quarters in the other, and he always, without fail, takes the two quarters. That is the dumbest kid I've ever seen before in my life." So the guy got his head cut, and when he got his head cut, he went outside, and he noticed a little kid coming from across the street out of an ice cream shop, licking on an ice cream cone. He said, "Kid, come here, come here." "Say, yes, sir." He said, "I just saw you in the barber." "Say, yeah, I saw you getting your head cut." And the barber tells him, "You come in our barber shop every week, sometimes twice a week." "Say, yes, sir." Licking on his ice cream cone. He said, "Young man, the barber tells me, every time you come to the barber shop, he puts a dollar bill in one hand and two quarters in the other hand." "Say, yes, sir, that's true." "And young man, the barber tells me, without fail, you always take the two quarters." He said, "Young man, don't you realize that a dollar bill is more than two quarters?" And look, he looked at that man, looked at one woman, looked on his ice cream cone. He said, "Sir, the day I take the dollar, the game is over." That kid wasn't as dumb as he thought he was. And because he liked ice cream cones, he always took the two quarters. Because every decision, every choice, leads to a consequence. Think with me for a moment. I wonder if Adam and Eve would have made the same choice if they were known the consequences, if they'd been driven out of the car. I wonder if Noah would have made the same choice. Drinking that alcohol, drinking that liquor, if he would have known the consequences of his sin. I wonder if David, apple of God's eye, man after God's own heart, would have made the same decision to have an adulterous affair with Bathsheba if David would have known the consequences. I wonder if Judas, one of the handpicked 12, Jesus didn't ask for a resume on Judas. Jesus didn't ask for references on Judas. Did Andrew, follow me. Matthew, follow me. John, but Judas, handpicked. I wonder if Judas would have made the same decision. Judas would have known a few hours after his decision, he would have been committed suicide. But not only those in the Bible, what about the day and time we're living? I wonder if Michael Jackson, one of the greatest entertainers that ever lived, MJ would have made the same decision. Michael Jackson would know the consequences of his decision. I wonder if Michael Vick would have made the same decision. I wonder if Lil Wayne, R. Kelly, T.I., Miss. Keep thinking I'm at home. What about Lindsay Lohan? Amy Winehouse? Paris Hilton? The Kardashian sisters? Britney Spears? Oops, I did it again. I wonder if they would have made the same choices if they would have known the decision. I wonder if Whitney Houston, one of the greatest voices quality that ever did, if Whitney would have made the same choice, he should have known the consequence. But not only those in the Bible, not only those in entertainment, what about those of us sitting in this chapel? What about some of the decisions and choices that you've made in life? And now that you think about some of the consequences of those decisions, but you have made the same choice. If you've known the consequences, if you've known that your spouse would have found out, your parents would have found out, that your kids would have found out, that your church would have found out, that your pastor, would you have made some of the same choices that we've made in life? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the importance of having a renewed mind is that a renewed mind should help you think about the consequences of your choices. Then as I come to a close, thank you, Dr. Moore. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Southern, for allowing me to be here all today. But Dr. Moore, you know how much I appreciate the opportunity. A renewed mind should help you think about your Christ. A renewed mind should help you think about your choices. And finally, Pastor Coleman, a renewed mind should help you think about the cross. A renewed mind should help you think about the cross. Look at verse 8 as I come to a close. The Bible says, the Word of God says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself." And credit the Bible says he became obedient unto death, even to death of y'all, even the debt of the cross. My brothers and my sisters, every decision we make as believers, as born-again Christians, as sons and daughters of God, should help us think not only about our Christ, not only about our choices, but about the cross. Everything Jesus did, he did because of the cross. His suffering should help you think about the cross. His pain should help you think about the cross. His agony should help you think about the cross. The nails in his hands, the nails in his feet, the spear in his side, the crown of thorns on his head should help you think about the cross. Those 7 sayings from the cross should help you think about the cross. The first of these, Father, forgive them, but they know not what they do. It should help you think about the cross. That second saying from the cross, and you look on the deep on the right and say, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That third cry from the cross, and you look at his beloved mother Mary, his beloved son of Jonah, said, woman, behold thy son, son of, behold thy mother. Should help you think about the cross. That fourth cry from the cross, when they ask you and refuse his sign, because the S-O-N was taken on the sin of the world, and Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, why, God, why hast thou forsaken me? That fifth cry from the cross, I first, that sixth cry from the cross, it is finished. That seventh cry from the cross, Father, Daddy, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he died, and he died, and he died for you, and for you, and for you, and for you, and for me. But thank God, that's not how the story ends. 3 days later, he rose again, all power in his hand. Yet, where is that thing grave? Where is that victory? But he did it all because of the cross. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Jesus was hung up for our failures. And it was all possible at the COVID because of what Jesus did on the cross. That old rugged cross, that old wicked cross, that old dirty, Jesus did it. Because of what he did on the cross. That's why, as I take my seat, that's why our minds should be renewed. So we can walk right. So we can talk right. So we can live right. So we can pray right. So we can preach right. So we can teach right. So we can sing right. Brothers and sisters, as I take my seat, I beg of you. I plead with you. I beseech each and every one of you under the sound of my voice. Let this mind be, which is also in Christ Jesus, so you can think about the Christ, so you can think about the choices, and so you can think about the cross. I'm not as good as Patrick and this choir is, but I want to close this sermon out with this chorus that has meant so much to me since I've come to know the Lord. Sing it with me if you know it. At the cross, where I put it. You know it, you know it. And the burdens? And the burdens of God. Oh, come on. Oh, that sounds good. That sounds good. It was there?
It was there.
I received.
I received.
Oh, that sounds good.
And I am happy.
Come on, come on. Let's say it again. Dr. Dolphin, join in with us. That's the cross.
And the cross.
Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the mind of Christ. So we can think about our Christ, think about our choices, think about our cross. Bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Touch them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. We again give them back the Lord and his mother God. Give them the strength to go on from this one. Bless everyone, God, on this campus. Bless everyone.